This is Alex P. of EG with James Barton of Knight Frank from their residential team after the launch of the London plan, Sadiq Khan's vision for the next 20, 25 years of development in London. James, thank you very much for your time. I mean, you work with a lot of residential development, a lot of sites around the east side of London. What's most relevant to you from the plan, or what do you think is most going to affect you from the plan?
I think two things, Alex, really. One is the guidance on affordable housing, which we sort of knew about already. But secondly, as well, kind of the scrapping of these density guidelines. There's been a much more proactive look at the way that development and density and intensification of density can be increased around town centres, which is a real positive, and within close proximity to tube stations as well. So that's a real positive. There seems to be a proactive approach to development around these town centres for uses that are maybe not as intensified as they can be, so car parks, retail warehouses, etc. However, the one thing that also stands out is, from the affordable housing side, is the 35% threshold. And the 35% threshold when there's no grant or subsidy being put in. Yes, that gives clarity and certainty from a developer's point of view, so that's the one positive. However, not every site can incorporate 35% affordable housing. And the real problem is that if the sites that can't incorporate that, then they are going to get stuck in this protracted viability route. And the real problem is that it is actually the case that not every site can afford 35% affordable housing. So not to get fast-tracked seems like the real kind of route that nobody should go down. The problem is that we all agree that more affordable housing is needed and more housing in general is needed. But stipulating that 35% is the threshold can absolutely slow down housing development and increase volumes of development activity.
And in terms of densification, how easy will it be to increase the density of schemes, if that makes sense? I mean, towers don't particularly work at the moment, surely, especially outside of Zone 1 London, because you have to get 75% pre-sold before you can really build the thing. And frankly, the pre-sale market's not up to that at the moment. So, I mean, densification sounds fine in principle, but on paper, is it going to be easy to do?
No, I mean, densification doesn't necessarily mean towers. You're right, the towers are how can we say, maybe potentially unattractive at the moment in the market because of other issues. So, for example, you know, the buy-to-let stamp duty 3%, and rising construction costs that we've had over the past 4 to 5 years, you know, and towers naturally mean more a higher peak cash flow, which is not what developers are looking for at the moment. But towers don't necessarily mean more density. Oh, sorry, more density doesn't necessarily mean towers. You can still achieve greater densification through other means, you know, things like townhouses. That is one way that you can increase density on sites for housing and these smaller sites. And that obviously comes into the London plan as well, that there's been a big concentration on sites up to, say, 25 units, and that can provide up to 25,000 new homes per year, and how that's going to be dealt with. A lot of those sites won't necessarily be apartment schemes. They will be housing schemes. And to keep density up on those sort of sites, you'd have to use things like townhouses. Also, as well, you know, you're looking at kind of suburban areas as well within these London boroughs. And towers is not always the answer. But increasing the density can be done in various different ways.
Okay. Well, we wait to see how it all works out, I suppose. James, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure.